It's John and Lance.
I destroyed.
John's ripping Coors Light families apart.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Come on in, 713-780-3776. I saw this this morning, Lance, and what you think of this. There is a story about the Ravens and Texans discussing day two trade. Baltimore moving up to pick 59.
Yeah. I watched that video.
Yeah, and the Texans moving back to 80. And adding a future third, 21 spots, and adding in the second round, and just adding a third. I thought, okay, so Baltimore wanted to move up for center Logan Jones or Jake Slaughter, but they were gone already. The Texans ended up picking a tight end Marlon Klein.
Wait. You sure Logan Jones is gone? Because they were talking about going to the 40-something pick. He wasn't gone by then.
No, they were talking about moving up to 59. They were talking about moving up to 59 with the Texans.
But they were already at 45. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I guess so.
And they were taking a second. Going to take a second one.
Yeah, it was Logan Jones and Jake Slaughter.
Yeah. In the video, he said they didn't think it was worth it. They didn't think it was worth it moving up. Like, they... Ultimately, the Ravens said no.
Did you watch the whole thing? Because they said, oh, Jones is gone. Oh, Slaughter's gone. All right, never mind.
Well, I heard what Eric DaCosta said post-fact was, we just didn't, you know, we didn't think it was worth that. That would be way too high.
No. What he said was they would have lost three guys, apparently, with somebody else or something, because he said, well, we got this guy, we got this guy, we got that guy. Let's play it. Well, we can play it. Dell's got it. I don't know. He hasn't looked at it. It's clean, Dell, so you don't have to worry
about
it.
Eric DaCosta doesn't drop an F-bomb.
Eric DaCosta did not drop one F-bomb. But I was just wondering, moving up 21 spots from 80 to 59, and they were talking about just losing a third rounder next year. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem like enough compensation.
Oh, does it? That seems like a ton to me.
Really?
Yeah.
A third rounder to move up.
I'll look at the draft tech. Draft tech has the most. So what? From what pick to what?
From 80 to 59.
From 80 is 190 points. Yeah, that's what Baltimore had. To the Texans 59, that's 310 points. So that's a difference of how much did I say Baltimore's was? 190. So that's a difference of 120. So 120 points is equal to the 95th pick in the third round. A late third is what it would be worth.
Really?
Moving that far up, yeah.
Huh. Well, I guess third rounders are valuable.
Starters that come from the third. Third round is usually, you're going to find, a lot of times your top center in the draft comes off in the third round. Starting guards come off in the third round. Starting linebackers can come off in the third round. Oh, yeah. It's very valuable depending on the position you're targeting. Cornerbacks, a little less so. You usually get backups in the third round. Safeties, you can get starters. Most years, you've been able to find starters in the third round or potential starters.
Mm-hmm.
Running backs, most drafts, you find them in the third round. Wide receivers, valuable in the third round. Tackles, not so much. Guards and centers more so, yeah. Well, defensive Texans tackles, found, yes. Pass rushers, not as
Texans
much.
Found Nico in the third.
No, third's a valuable pick. So, yeah, they didn't end up doing that. And Nick, everyone knows Nick is one of the most aggressive move up, move down guys in the draft. Sometimes I don't love it. That's just my personal opinion based on some of the players, how I see them. But he clearly wants to get the guys that he wants to get. Like, I had heard that Marlon Klein was their guy at tight end for probably 6 weeks before, that they love Marlon Klein. And I said, okay. And I was told it's like maybe as early as the third round. I said, third round for Marlon Klein? Well, it turns out it wasn't even a third round. Once there was a run on tight ends, they moved them all the way into the second. So that is an interesting move, because what the Texans did and what many teams and what a few teams did, I shouldn't say many, what a few teams did was they took what their normal grades would be on a player and they just elevated it up one full round. Marlon Klein's not a second rounder in other drafts. In fact, Nate Burkacher's not a second rounder in other drafts. None of those tight ends that went in the second or second round, other than Eli Stowers, would have been second rounders in most drafts. But there was a run. Everyone wants to go to 12 and 13 personnel more heavily. So everyone was willing to draft a guy that they didn't have the same grade on. And I say that just because I've done this long enough to know where guys typically slot. And I watched them all. And tight ends to go in the second, you got to be a different kind of tight end to go in the first and second round. You don't typically go there. And a bunch of guys went there. So a lot of teams said, you know, they'll sit there and tell you stay true to your draft grade. A lot of teams push players up, push a tight end up into the second round because there was a run, and that's not where they would have had them graded. So that's kind of an outlier. That's kind of a, we call that an exception. You're making an exception. You better be careful doing that too often. We'll see what happens with Marlon Klein. I hope it works out with Marlon Klein.
Hall of Fame.
Texans haven't had a lot of success with their tight end moves.
Hall of Fame.
Okay. Yeah, I guess.
You just don't worry about Marlon Klein. Okay.
Yeah, I guess.
Texans got their tight end for the next 15 years.
That's what they said about Cade Stover.
Well, nobody said that, really. I don't remember that.
Nobody is saying this except for you.
You're the only one saying this. Nick Caserio's like,
even
what is
Nick
this
Caserio
idiot talking
wouldn't
about?
Say that. I mean, the churn.
Oh, Nick Caserio doesn't think he's great? Okay.
Hall of Famer?
Hall of
no.
Fame, next, a tight end for the next 15 years?
No, Nick doesn't think
Nick's
that.
Like,
that's right.
Nick's like, 5 years, and I'll draft another one.
I said it.
He's like, I'll draft another one in
four
5 years. It won't even get to a fifth year. Let this rookie contract run out,
Cade
and I'll draft
contract,
another one.
They're not re-signing Cade Stover when he comes up. For what?
For who? For what?
Go get somebody cheaper than
There'll
him.
Be another Michigan tight end for Nick to draft in two
or
two
Ohio
years.
State.
Don't worry.
Yeah,
he got his guy. He got his guy for the next 15 years.
He got his guy.
Yeah.
How many tight ends last more than 5 years? 15.
Not a lot. A lot of them don't even get second contracts.
15?
Okay. Guess you never heard of.
Go on. Name someone ridiculous that Klein will never be. Go on.
No. Who you're going to get to a 37-year-old tight end, start naming them off.
Yeah, Travis Kelce?
Came out in, 13?
Is he?
Yeah. And so he's about a 13-year-old tight end.
He was at the game last night at San Francisco.
George Kittle. That was Kittle.
Yeah, thank you.
Is Klein going to want?
George Kittle's not been in the league 15 years.
No,
he
will be.
I wrote him up in 2016. He's got 10 years
so
in.
So you're looking
he
at.
He will be.
He won't make it to 15.
So you're thinking Kelce for Klein.
Yeah.
Okay. Is he going to wind up getting engaged to Sabrina Carpenter, too? How's this going to go? Is it going to be the entire
Kelce? He's already got a girl.
Kelce experience? Kelce
he's
had
already
a girl.
Got a girl.
Kelce
Don't
had
worry.
A girl at one point, too. And then he found a pop star that he preferred.
It's true. He did. He did go over the top.
Yeah, so.
Didn't we see, isn't she pretty strong, Marlon Klein's?
I don't know.
I remember we looked her up for some reason because Dell was like, you got to see this Instagram.
Not a chance. It was me. Not a chance. Not a chance I looked up the Michigan tight ends girl.
No, she puts a post out.
Oh, yeah, she's a influencer type. She said that she was sitting at a game at Michigan, and in front of her were guys in Texans shirts, and they were talking. They said, oh, are you his girlfriend? Yeah, oh, we're with the Texans. And she was talking to them, and they were there. Although, honestly, usually you sit in the – sometimes some scouts will sit in the stands. A lot of times they sit up in the press box because there's an area for NFL scouts, but – whoever it was, I guess, was sitting in the stands in front of the family.
This is a great story, but I regret to inform Marlon Klein's girl, according to John, if we're following the same trajectory as Kelce.
She's gone?
She's gone.
Okay.
At some point, he's going to wind up with Sabrina Carpenter.
She's a Pistons cheerleader.
Wes Welker got rid of Pistons?
Who cares?
They just went out sad in Game 7.
Pistons cheerleader. Who cares?
Stop. She's still a Pistons cheerleader.
She's sad today.
She's
she was putting on her makeup, telling us the story.
She was a cheerleader for the Pistons.
Wait, that's her fiance. So put some respect on her name.
Oh, they're not even married.
Oh, okay.
Woo.
You
better hurry up and speed this thing up before he gets too many catches.
I am not even that interested. I'm just going by your trajectory of who he's going to be. If it's true, then at some point, let's say hello to Olivia Rodrigo.
I remember when Wes Welker used to be married, too, and then he started catching a lot of passes.
I don't know about that.
No, it's 100%
true. I have no idea.
Wes started getting a lot of passes from Tom Brady. All of a sudden, my lease is over. Well, I thought it was a purchase. You were a lease. Next.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's what happened. Wow.
Wes is vicious.
Ugly. What happened?
Ugly.
Say
well,
it didn't
Tom
happen.
Did it, too.
Say it didn't happen.
Tom did it, too.
Tom did it. Tommy did it, too.
I mean,
that's a Michigan man.
Marlon Klein.
That's a Michigan man.
A one-woman man. Okay?
I believe
he probably
you.
Is.
I believe you.
But Dell's just saying there's history there.
Not if, with him.
I'm just going by
at
John's
the position.
Trajectory. If he is what you think he is.
50-year tight ends rarely stay with the same person.
Yeah.
Dell's pointing that out.
The most recent example decided, hey.
Almost 50.
I like a famous pop star.
Yeah.
And got engaged.
Yeah. Billionaire even. Yeah. Probably.
She's so, I mean, I'm sure Sabrina and Olivia are on the way. So, Marlon Klein, get ready.
Shit. Wow. Terrible person. I'm happy for that young couple.
I don't. They're engaged. I couldn't care less.
Okay. Happy for that couple.
I hope just like last week, you brought up a couple I couldn't care less about. T's and P's. Hopefully it all goes well. And if it doesn't, I hope Marlon Klein brings Olivia to a game.
You know, I haven't talked about the schedule. Let's talk about the schedule on the other side. I haven't talked about the schedule at all because I wasn't here on Friday. So I like it. I mean, they're starting at home for a change. With the first couple, three out of the first four games, and all very winnable games. So we'll talk about that on the other side. And listen, if you're a golfer, if you played at our tournament, you saw how great Sterling Golf is. We played on the Country Club course. That was awesome. But they also got the Houston National Golf Club. It's a link-style course designed by Robert Von Hagee. It's got one of the most unique layouts in Houston. They also feature a lighted driving range and their back deck bar and grill. That's kind of cool. That's pretty cool when you play golf and you've got a back deck bar and grill right there, partying right after the round. A fun golf course. You can tee it up at the golf club at Texas A&M as well. It's really, really cool track. It's ranked among the top public courses in Texas. And if you want to plan a golf getaway, Cypress Bend Golf Club in Manny, Louisiana. It's along the Toledo Bend Lake. You can fish. You stay there right on the property. Stay and play packages available. You can fish. You can play golf. I mean, it's a perfect guy's getaway place. Three incredible courses. One standard. Visit Sterling Golf. That's Sterling with a G. Sterling Golf.com, sterlinggolf.com. Book your next round today.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back. Talk a little Texans. I haven't talked about the schedule. And, you know, I'm just looking. The Bills, you start with the Bills. Does the Josh Allen jinx? I mean, does it translate into the first game of this year? He just can't play here. He just can't play here.
I hope it translates. When we talked about it, I'm glad you get Josh Allen and Joe Burrow 1-2 because, and you have them at home, but also usually the offenses take a little longer to click and to get into a groove because quarterbacks just don't get, I mean, offenses just don't get many reps anymore in preseason. They just don't. And so now they do have the practices with teams, you know, sometimes the organized practices, which kind of helps. But I would rather get those quarterbacks in week 1 and 2 than weeks 4 and 5.
Okay. I get that. I think the Bengals are going to have a problem here anyway with their offensive line. I think it's going to be bad for Joe. The bad news is I wouldn't mind the Bengals later in the season because Joe might not be there by then. You know, so Joe is definitely going to be there week 2, so that'll be a problem. Yeah, you're right, but the Bills' offense might not be clicking yet, but the Texans' offense might not be clicking yet either. So, this is a bad place for Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
So
always
that,
has
that's
been.
A, yep. I like the Texans in both of those. I don't, you know, they got off to such a crap start last year. That it's so much to make up.
Right.
This is nice to have 2 home games right away, and listen, I don't, I don't, I think both of these games are the Texans. What are they? Are they favored?
Yeah.
They're favored in both of them.
I don't. You know what? I haven't seen. I'll have to check. I haven't seen.
I saw something where. Yeah.
I have to see if I can find it week by week. I saw it hasn't come out for. I saw NFC East came out. I have not seen.
I saw it. I'll have to look for it. But
they will be favored, but versus both teams.
Yeah.
Versus
at the Colts.
Versus the Bills, I think the Texans will be favored by about four.
I don't think that much.
Why not?
I've already seen it. I don't think it's that much. I think it's a point and a half or something.
Okay, let me put it this way. How much on a neutral field, who's the better team?
On a neutral field?
Yeah.
The Bills, probably.
Why? Bills against the Texans?
Just Josh Allen.
Okay, I mean, he sucks against the Texans, but...
Yeah, right.
That's fine.
Right. Well, he sucks in this building.
I think on a neutral field, I might make the Texans with their elite defense. Yeah. The changes they made offensively, I'd make the Texans a one-point favorite. Yeah,
but a lot of people don't look at the Texans offensively like we do.
Well, they don't have
to. They still think it's the worst offensive line.
They don't have to, but I think you're going to have the defense, all they did from that Buffalo game forward, all they did were they were elite. I mean, they were a talking point for everyone. A four-point favorite just means the Texans would be 1 point in an open, would be a one-point favorite in a half point to a one-point favorite in a neutral field. I don't think that's that outrageous. And in Buffalo, you'd have the Bills would be a two-point favorite. I don't think that feels outrageous. Maybe 2.5.
Yeah.
The Bengals, the Texans should be a good, solid 6-point favorite over the Bengals. Bengals have been an atrocity defensively. They've got 11 new players in their two deep. They're going to have 8 new starters on defense. A lot of them aren't really even that good. They're just different. They're free agents. Joe Burrow has not been consistent. The offense hasn't been as good, and that O-line is going to have to take on the Texans' defensive line. Texans should be at least a 6-point favorite against the Bengals.
Okay,
we
got to
just keep giving the Bengals this respect for what?
Okay, I'm looking at Texans commenter. Mm-hmm. He posted all the lines. The Texans are +1.5 in week one.
I'd be shocked. As a matter of fact, I'll take that and put house on it. I mean, that's the Texans are going to be a favorite. And
people
more than
look
two.
At Buffalo and Houston differently than we do.
Well, gamblers? Right. You think the gamblers, the people who actually bet
yes,
on the lines,
I think
will?
If you put out a line... The Texans favored by four, you would get they would
guess
be
what's
bombarded
happen.
With Buffalo.
Guess
money.
What's about to happen to them if you put out Texans +1 at home.
Right.
After what they've done to Josh Allen. You let it off talking about what they've done to Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Go ahead and put +1 and watch how much money you lose, Vegas. Right.
Well, I don't
you'll get
I,
the brakes beaten off of you and your sisters. Try to put +1 up there.
Bengals, Texans -2.5.
He's ridiculous. Wait until game time. That means you think the Bengals. That means Vegas has the Bengals as a higher. Where are these coming from?
Texans commenter.
No, I understand. Where did he get them from?
I don't know where he got them. I have no idea.
Okay, then I'd be careful with all these lines because yeah. Bengals two. The Texans 2.5 means the Bengals would be the favorite in a neutral field.
Oh no!
What?
This is okay. Yeah.
What?
No. Well, yeah.
What?
Listen. Okay, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly that that's way
well,
off.
What did you just see? What are the numbers? Are they these don't feel like real numbers at all?
I don't know if we go by our former coworker Sean Pendergast. I think this is where the Texans are a 1.5 point underdog to the Bills. It is from DraftKings.
It's from DraftKings.
It looks like
I would unload everything
in his article. Looks like he's quoting DraftKings. The Texans are favored in 13 out of their 17 games this year.
So the Bengals, we're making the Bengals on a neutral field the favorite over the Texans. That's crazy. Watch what I'll bet you the line's closer to my number than it is that number by the time it kicks off.
Yeah, this is, 13. 13 they're favored in.
And just so happens that game one they are not.
Yeah. Do people look at Lance? People don't look, and for again, this is not it's not accurate, but it's perception. The Bills are perceived to be a much better football
team
than Houston.
When the gamblers get their hands on that,
Yeah.
Knowing what they know, because they actually watch these games. Let's see what happens when they
but
get.
But the public
stopped.
Is also going to be putting.
Why
a
would
bunch.
The public? The Texans defense is going to be a very public team as well. The Texans, you guys are really sleeping on the way people.
No, guys.
Nobody's sleeping on it.
It
was
the line,
literally
the
beginning.
Not
line,
up,
yeah, not,
hold on.
No one's sleeping
the
on.
The Texans were a public team to start 25.
Don't talk to us.
No, I'm telling you guys that if you're going to make the comment about somebody being a public team, the Texans were a very public team in 25 to start the year.
And when they played the Bills in November,
they were five and a half point
underdogs.
They had a backup quarterback in.
Understood.
And then what happened? It was a butt stomping.
It was 23-19. It wasn't a butt stomping.
Oh, and Josh Allen wasn't even
that's
close.
Fine, but the score was 23-19.
And the last thing.
That's a 9-point differential.
Understood.
The last thing that everyone saw of the Houston Texans were the two playoff games where their offense couldn't have been worse.
That's fine. Let's come see me on week one when the Texans are a favorite.
Listen, I'm looking at.
I'll lay the number if it's 1.5 Texans. That's an easy win.
I'm just telling you. What the public listen? Way too early playoff bracket prediction by Fox. Texans aren't even on it.
That's fine.
Not even on it.
That's fine.
So the public looks at it a lot differently than we do.
That's fine.
The national public
looks at
it. We'll
see where the gambler. I don't care about the national public. All I care about is Vegas because Vegas has money to lose.
Well let's this is DraftKings.
Good. Let's see where the and their stock is down 50% this year.
Well,
so you might want to actually start putting better numbers.
You think their stock is down because they made the Texans an underdog?
No, because they're putting bad numbers out. That's why. Okay. Y'all want to stop getting your asses kicked? Put some better numbers out. Ask some people who watch games.
You mad, bro?
No, it's just a simple fact that this is ridiculous. I used to do this. This is dumb. What in the world are you guys thinking? If you're DraftKings making the Texans a 1.5 point dog on a neutral field, the Texans would be 4 point dogs. At Buffalo, the Texans would be.
That's how the public sees these two teams.
The Texans would be a touchdown dog at Buffalo. That's outlandish. There would never be a rule. There's never a time that would be the number. I do every time you do these numbers, I give a number, and I'm usually pretty close. I'm telling you, the Texans would never, ever.
Is home field still considered that type of advantage?
For a defensive team,
depends.
It should be.
It depends. It's the NFL. It's actually lower in the NFL than it had been. It's usually 2.5.
Well,
at NFL and colleges, it goes up to 4.
Okay, well, on Sunday, October 11th, they play at Tennessee, and they're 3.5-point favorites. When they play them at the end of the year at home, they're 7-point favorites. So there's a difference of 3.5 points.
They're making it a 2-point favorite. So they're basically saying
home field is.
Yeah, they're basically saying 2 points for the Texans at home, 1.5 for Tennessee, more than likely.
Right. They've got. At Indiana, -5.5 for the Texans, and Indiana here is -5.5. 4-point difference. 4-point difference. 2 points. It's basically 2 points.
If you got DraftKings stock, I would sell now. I would short them. Short DraftKings.
You mad, bro?
Short DraftKings. Because it's a bad number. We're reading bad numbers on the air. You even sensed it was a bad number when you were reading it.
Oh, like, yeah.
You sensed it was a bad number. Go with your instincts, Jedi.
Well, no. Listen.
The Jedi.
I'm just telling you what the public thinks of Buffalo and what the public thinks of Houston are night and day. They don't believe because of what they saw. CJ, listen. YouTube this morning, our feed, my daughter texted me. She said, they think that CJ needs some psychiatric help. And she said, I'm available if he needs...
If he needs to talk
to somebody.
Hold on a second. Yeah. Can we just call it a sports psychologist?
Psychiatric help sounds very bleak.
Cuckoo's
well,
nest.
It is what it is. Okay. She's and you know what and you know what if they need her she's available.
Hmm. Okay. Is she a sports psychologist by any chance?
She could be.
Maybe his problems go deeper than sports.
Maybe he doesn't.
I'm not even saying he does have problems, but.
Maybe he doesn't need a
the way you guys are talking about him, I'm taking Buffalo -1.5 week one now. He's apparently got major psychiatric needs.
Well, apparently,
my quarterback's fine. He cut his hair. He's fine.
According to YouTube.
He's lifting. He's eating lean proteins.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's good with CJ.
Yeah.
Have you seen him lean down?
Yeah,
hair's gone.
LTA start this
rebrand.
Week. I'm sure he'll be great out there.
Never
practicing.
Been. Look at this. Tell people what I'm doing right here.
handing it off? You think that's what he...
All he's got to do is work on his handoff game.
You guys are very optimistic about the Woody Marks, Dave Montgomery
that's right.
duo.
That's right. And these new offensive linemen with injury histories.
who they're
I put a lot in Braden Smith's health.
Previous teams were fine with letting go.
I know. I'm putting a lot in Braden Smith's health. Not only that, the Browns let two guards, was it Bitonio, Wyatt Teller.
Get out of here. We know
we've got Shakur and Deshaun. We're fine.
Revamped their offensive line, just like the Texans.
Well, what they're doing, they apparently are going in suck mode because they got their offensive line is gone. They did get our tackle, Titus Howard. And look at their quarterbacks. They're basically just saying, look, we know next year's a much better quarterback year. Deshaun will be off the books next year. Let's just be bad. And Miles Garrett's like, why did I re-sign?
Well, Miles, like he is wont to do, is not showing up for OTAs, but he never does. He didn't do it last year either, so.
He was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that stuff.
All right, let's break. 713-780-3776. We didn't even get to week four for F's
Lance
sake.
Is so upset by DraftKings.
I mean, because Lance got in his feelings about one and a
bad
half.
Bad lines.
We're
bad,
breaking. Don't,
terrible
don't.
Bad lines. We're giving out bad information.
Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
How about, talk about the balls on Brendan Sorsby. He's suing the NCAA to reinstate his eligibility.
He's trying to get an injunction. So he knows the injunction means they have to stay the execution. So that's all he's trying to do. If he gets the injunction, then the NCAA, they have to get to court. That's all he's trying to do. He's trying to get his money.
Well, right. I mean, he's...
Nice try, Ron.
Well, the thought was he'd have to go into, supplemental draft this summer for the NFL?
Yeah.
But I saw a tweet from somebody. This is the judge that's going to be determining Sorsby's fate. And he's with the... He's got his guns up with the Texas Tech mascot. That's the judge that's going to be deciding his fate. So chances are he'll be moved to Texas Tech, right? Yeah, he went from Cincinnati to Tech. Uh-huh. He'll be playing for Tech this year.
Wait, who makes that decision? That's on the state level?
A judge. He's suing him, and he's going to go before the judge, who's a huge Texas Tech fan.
Wait a minute. Wait. So an NCAA ruling is going to be decided on the state level?
Apparently. Well, maybe it was a joke. I don't know. But listen, we saw the same with Ole Miss?
No, yeah, this year.
That was a Mississippi judge.
Yeah, it's Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah.
Trinidad Chambliss.
So that's what you're going to say?
I don't think so. This won't. This has gambling. It's strictly, that was one, these are way, way different. The Trinidad Chambliss, it was a...
I'm talking about the judge.
I understand all that. The judge is not going to, there was one that was a decision about whether or not he qualified post facto for an extra year due to an injury. This is very strictly spelled out in their bylines. He gambled in Indiana. He gambled on games. I'm sorry. Did he go Indiana to Cincinnati? Is that what he did?
Yeah.
Tech?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a backup at Indiana.
He gambled on a game. He's out of football.
He said he bet on Indiana games so he could feel closer to the program.
Yeah. Whatever. he gambled. Like, he's not going to win this. Now this isn't what they're trying to do. Is just create. They're just trying to create a stay. That's all. They're just trying to create an injunction.
Right.
He just wants it lifted. I don't know that they're going to do that, because this is a major rule about gambling, and I don't think you want to be the judge that messes with that one, because they have very, very distinct, they have very strong lines drawn for gambling. There's tons of precedents where gambling has gotten people kicked out of leagues and whatnot and suspended for years. Yeah. I don't know if you want to be the judge that tries to set precedents with that. where you basically are questioning the gambling. If they've got all this, if all that information is available to them, they've already done their investigations which they have. I don't know how Sorsby gets out of this. I think his best chance is to go into a supplemental draft.
There's apparently a report. He bet on Turkish basketball, Romanian soccer, obscure doubles tennis matches, and Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Those are some of the ones that they cherry picked. He bet on a lot of basketball.
He would go to a baseball game and bet on every pitch.
Yeah, he bet on everything.
On every pitch.
He bet on everything. This is going to be an issue for him. And I talked to two teams, so my editor came out. He was writing an article on Sorsby, and he goes, "Hey, do any of your sources have any idea about where he would go?" And I asked three different teams, and one of them said he'll get drafted, just not sure where. They didn't really say too much. The other guy said, "Well, he's talented. He should get drafted." He goes, "The problem is there's going to be a lot of, like, the NFL is going to have to research his background here and what they want to do for it, because they don't exactly love somebody who has a gambling problem coming into the league. Like, that's looked at a little more sternly than some people might think so." Yeah. And he's already come out and said, "I'm addicted to gambling. I'm seeking treatment." That's kind of guilty. That's a guilty plea. Yeah. Yeah. When he already seeks treatment for his gambling addiction. So I was surprised to hear him say that NFL teams may really wait until much later. I'm just thinking, man, I'd be pulling the trigger with a third rounder. Whatever you take a guy in a supplemental draft, that means your pick that next year is gone. So if you took Sorsby with a third round supplement, so what they do is they ask every team, "You want to take him with your first round?" No. Every team, "You want to take him with your second round?" No. "You want to take him with your third round?" No. "You want to take him with your fourth round?" Oh, Atlanta said yes. Boom. He's now an Atlanta Falcon, and they go in order of the draft. And he's now Atlanta Falcon.
On the Rich Eisen show right here, Tom Pelissero says he will be the highest drafted supplemental player in decades.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't remember the other. I think there was a second rounder at one point. He won't be a first round pick. I can't see that.
Yeah, I can't see that either. Unless it's a really,
like I said, he's got to get past this whole. He's got to get past this whole gambling thing.
Yeah, a supplemental draft history. I mean, they're not fourth round for Hunter. Oh no, this is a long time ago. Let's go to the recently. Fifth round, sixth round, third round, fifth round, second round for Josh Gordon.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So in decades.
2012.
That's a little bit more than a decade ago.
Right. 2015 was. Well, there's only been three supplemental picks since 2015.
Oh, they'll put them in there, and they usually don't go.
Yeah.
They usually don't go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking at. There's a guy named Rod Stewart. How about Rod Stewart? Was a running back in the sixth round. And then you know what happened with him and what's his name? And Elton John, that was a horrible thing that people said. No, let's see.
I don't believe they're the same
what?
Guy.
Let's see.
They're different people
it
you're
said
talking
Rod
about.
Stewart, 79. No, I saw that. Same time frame.
That's unlikely. That Rod Stewart got
I
drafted.
Don't think that's the Rod Stewart.
No. Okay. I was just going. So Adonis Alexander, six.
Tim Rosenbach and Steve Walsh both went in the first round.
Sam Beal was
so did Boz.
Sam Beal was a third.
Cowboys.
Bernie Kosar, first round.
Terrell Pryor was a third.
Cowboys were 1-15 that year and took Steve Walsh.
Yeah, I don't know that this whole big highest pick in decades. I'm not sure Pelissero dug around on where guys went. Well, he's going any higher than the second round.
Well, the history is there's only been three in the last decade.
Since 2000, there have been actually several.
Four. The last decade is 2016.
You said decades.
Decade. 2016.
Well, how many guys have been taken since 16?
Three.
Then it's a fake stat. Three. Who cares if it's only been three?
Well, there's
Pelissero.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players have been taken since 2010.
Since what?
So, 2010. Since 2010, supplemental picks. So
but that's not a decade. A decade is 2016.
Well, John, you said he'd be the highest pick in decades. Or you didn't say it. He said it. He's not going to be the highest pick in decades.
It's a decade, but it's not even a real stat. There's not that many people. Not that many people have been taken.
2000. It's not a real stat.
Big deal anyway.
He's going to be a high. Well, but he's going to be a high pick, is what he's saying. It's a little bit of hyperbole, but he's going to be a high pick. But we'll see how high. Second, third. That makes some sense. Looking at where these guys are going, Sam Beal was a third rounder that ended up being too high. Isaiah Battle was a fifth rounder.
Are you going to have to evaluate Sorsby?
Oh no, 100%. Dan said, "Where do you think you got?" I said, "I haven't looked at him. They wasn't in this draft." He goes, "I may need you to look at him." I'm like, "Damn it!" I hope he beats the NCAA just like Trinidad Chambliss, so I don't have to write him up.
Oh, 713-780-3. But he's got some nuts on him. I'm suing the NCAA. Okay.
You know the Houston Texans spent it. Holy crap! In 2003. The Houston Texans spent a second-round supplemental pick on Tony Hollins.
Yeah.
The running back?
Yeah. The running back out of Georgia Tech.
A second-rounder. Can you imagine nowadays?
Oh, my God.
You wouldn't spend a second-rounder on a running back that was really good in a lot of instances. Jamal Williams. Now, that was the great – that was maybe the best that's ever – Jamal Williams. You remember him from Oklahoma State? He was declared academically ineligible for his senior season in 1998. The Chargers – picked him as a second rounder, and he was really, really good. Really, really good. He was a Pro Bowler.
How long did Tony Hollins last 2 years here?
I think 3 years, maybe. Kosar. Wow.
Well,
Bernie,
the best ever is the
Bernie Kosar was the highest.
Boz.
Was Boz a supplemental?
Boz was a supplemental.
Dave Wilson, Bernie Kosar were first. Yeah, Boz was a first also. Yeah, those are the three. No, Steve Walsh was the first.
Steve Walsh was the first overall because the Cowboys were the worst team in football and took him. So.
Tim Rosenbach was the first. Bobby Humphrey was the first. They were just throwing first back out there in the day. Rob Moore. But they had different rules, like guys who were suspended before their senior season for signing with an agent. Chris Carter, can you imagine that? He also had alcohol problems, but. Walsh did not declare for the draft before its deadline. He waited. The deadline passed, and he's like, all right, I'm coming in. Still went in the first.
Well, Craig Erickson's about to take his job. Got to go.
Yep. We just don't see it much. We haven't seen it. We haven't seen it since 19. It's been 7 years since we've seen it.
So Boz wasn't a great pro. Who's the best pro to come out? There's really Bernie Kosar.
Josh Humphrey, Ahmad Brooks was
Jamal
pretty
Williams,
good.
I think would be
Jamal
best
Williams
pro.
Is the answer.
Bernie Kosar was fine.
Jamal Williams was an All Pro at one point.
Bernie never got there.
No, Josh Gordon had good times, but he was such a problem. Ahmad Brooks, I believe, was a Pro Bowler as well.
Oh my God! Jamal Williams was declared academically ineligible at Oklahoma State. Holy crap! Guys left there couldn't read.
It wouldn't happen nowadays, though.
No.
They would never let that happen.
No such thing. Academically ineligible. When was the last time we heard a guy was academically ineligible?
No, it doesn't. These guys are way better students now.
Yeah. Guys take it seriously now.
Yeah, now. Yeah. Now they're in there grinding.
Yeah. They're nonstop. They're just in the library all day.
It's a different dynamic when it comes to major college football. Guys go to class.
You got
to
try hard to not pass your class.
Try hard. You don't have to do anything.
Well, it takes more effort not to pass than to pass.
All you gotta do is remember Cindy's phone number. She'll do the. She'll
It'll
take
be
the
interesting.
Test for you.
That's all you gotta
just
do.
Just remember Cadence's phone number. Cadence's phone number. She'll take the test for you.
It'll be interesting to see graduation numbers going forward, or at least in this era of everybody transferring out. It is going to be, I mean, I forget which basketball coach was. Oh, it was Calipari, I think. He was like, you know, we're just doing these kids a disservice because none of them are going to have a future. None of them.
Not
they're all
sport.
Just moving on. They're with no have no degree. They just move.
So
from,
what Sark said, right? If you go to Texas, they only give you half of the credits. You have to literally do half of your time. If you want a degree from the University of Texas, you have to do half of your necessary credits at University of Texas. He said you could be one class away, and they won't graduate you at Texas. They roll you all the way back to the midpoint because they don't want people getting degrees unless they actually spent time there.
Yeah, I mean it makes your degree worth less.
Right.
Yep. All right, we got a break. We got to talk a little Champion Energy. Got to talk about how great they are. I mean, I love Champion Energy. I loved them from 19 years ago, whenever I started using Champion Energy, and it was just the best electricity experience that you can possibly have. For me, it was fantastic, and it'll be the same for you. It wasn't because they didn't know that I spoke for them. They didn't care. They don't care about that. What they care about is getting your electricity to you at a better price, and they did that. And I said it multiple times. I never had to call, never needed them, except when I moved, I had to call them. That was it. Hey, I'm moving. Change my address. And, you know, then and they would get a hold of me every time my contract was up and say, hey, here's your new rate, and it's better than the old rate. So, and that happened time and time and time again. You're looking for the best way to get that electricity not only to your house, but to your business as well. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.